You're all looking a little more heavy this week. How many parents have sometimes wondered whether their child will grow up and what will they become? We don't know, we do our best. And education, which is a much bigger thing than just going to school, is often founded on the traditions and the thoughts and the beliefs and the values of the parents. And I think it's probably no different with Jesus. When Luke wrote his gospel, he did so, he was a physician, but he was also something of a historian. And if you know anything about historians, they're often very selective about what they choose to tell you. And Luke is no different. There are gaps in the story. And there's a big gap, for example, between the ages of about 3 years old and 12 years old. Who knows what went on then? And then there's the silent years between the story that we've just had read to us and when Jesus begins his ministry. Many years. We're not told. We're left to wonder. And I think it's a good idea to have something of a sanctified imagination. I think when Jesus went missing, his parents, they travelled for a day before they realised he'd gone. That's an awful long time. But then you've got to remember that they'd been celebrating the Passover. And the Passover was one of these great traditions and feasts to remember how God had delivered the people of Israel from slavery. And thousands upon thousands of people gravitated towards Jerusalem to celebrate the feast of the Passover. The roads, the paths were crowded, and quite often they would travel together as families and extended families and friends from different villages around the country. So it's, in one sense, it's not entirely surprising as that a 12-year-old was allowed to travel on the path. The trouble was he didn't. He stayed behind in Jerusalem, and a whole day went past before they found out. And then another 3 days of searching. That shows how crowded Jerusalem must have been. I want to talk about this missing gift of the Lord Jesus. I want to mention it because I think we're very good in this country at celebrating Christmas. But many people miss out on the most important thing of all. It is one thing to remember the story, but it's quite another to celebrate the gift. And the real gift is himself, Jesus Christ, the one who had stayed behind in the temple and had asked many questions, been told many answers. Now, for a 12-year-old, I guess he'd already begun his life with a great deal of curiosity. What 12-year-old hasn't got curiosity? Wanting to know. And Jesus, I think, was no different. I think if I was trying to remember what I was like at 12 years old, I might have at best left my parents a note. I'm staying behind in the temple. I think probably the best for me would have been gone fishing. But what about this missing gift? Because that's the thing that struck me when I read this story again. The missing gift. I don't know about you, but when it comes to buying gifts for people at Christmas, I must be one of the worst in the world. And I remember one year, I was so keen to get something right for the people I wanted to give to, that I took a day off and went to London, and I scoured Oxford Street and Regent Street, and in the end I was absolutely baffled as to what to get. But there was one thing I found, and I thought, he'll love it. And it was for my son, our son, David. And I went into this shop in Regent Street, and they had a before Christmas sale. Oh, there must be something there. And I found a jacket that I thought he would love. And the day came when the gift was given. And I watched his face as he opened the parcel. And I could tell immediately he hated it. It's interesting, isn't it, how the invitation that God gives us is often ignored. I kept the jacket. Yeah, this was 40 years ago, mind you. I kept the jacket, thinking that perhaps at first he might decide that he liked it after all. But it stayed in the cupboard. And some years later, I dug it out again. And it's been out once or twice in between. And probably I should have given it to somebody else. But I didn't. It still is a reminder in the cupboard. I don't know if any of you remember from years ago some of the thoughts for the day on Radio 4. There was one in the 1970s that was always done on a Monday morning by a Methodist minister called John Jackson. And he told the story one Monday morning that I've never forgotten. And this story was about a man who had worked all his working life on the railways. And as he approached retirement, he was a station master. And everybody who worked on the railways knew him well. He was well loved. And the day came for him to retire. Well, all his friends and colleagues got together beforehand to plan a retirement do. And they decided what they were going to do was to ask one of the directors of the railway company to give a speech. And he was invited and he agreed to come. And then they decided that they would get the local band to come and play. And the band agreed. And they prepared a present to give him too and wrapped it up with love. And the day came and everybody turned up. All the people that had been specially invited for this occasion, they all came. But as the time approached for this little celebration, this man who they were all celebrating his working life with was missing. And people were beginning to say, well, what's happened? Perhaps he's unwell. So in the end, they decided that they would send somebody to his house, find out what had happened. And when the person had found out from his wife what had happened, he came back and said, he's missing. He's not around. He's gone to Runcorn for a pigeon show, mind you. And then it began to dawn on people who were all there ready for him that they'd all invited everybody, but they'd forgotten to invite the gaffer. And that's the problem. We've become very good at celebrating, but in our society now, we've forgotten to invite the gaffer. if you'll forgive me for using that word of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a big question that we're left with when we read this story about Jesus in the temple. We read the first words, according to Luke, that Jesus spoke. Well, of course, they weren't the first words that Jesus spoke. It's just the first words that Luke records that Jesus spoke. Why are you looking for me? Surely you knew I'd be in my Father's house. It shows that even at 12 years old, Jesus was focused on his Father and what his Father was going to call him to be and to do. Well, we're a bit older than 12. And life moves on and it has its chapters. And many of us have reached perhaps the last chapter. But when it comes to following Jesus Christ, do we change accordingly? You see, when you're younger, you're wondering, what should I do? What is my calling? What should my career be? And when you're older, we're very good, actually, at looking backwards. But actually, we should also be looking at now, as things change, as life sometimes becomes difficult, when our faculties begin to fail. What does this discipleship mean then? We're following Jesus Christ in a changing world. The world has changed phenomenally. I mean, even in this past year. But does the one we claim to follow continue to transform the way we think, the attitudes we hold, the choices we make? There are four Gospels. Well, actually, there's only one, but there's four recorded Gospels for us. And I sometimes scratch my head and wondered, why is it we've got four? There's no other book in the Bible where it's repeated like that. Why have we got four? Well, you could say these committed followers of Jesus Christ wanted to make sure that the subsequent generations of Christians had the Gospel to refer to. And they each wrote in their own way, and sometimes they copied each other, and sometimes they remembered the oral traditions about Jesus and recorded them for us. But I have another theory why we've got four. Because the gospel is worth repeating. It's worth looking at again and again and again. You can look at all the other scriptures, which are really important too, but the focus on Jesus himself is perhaps the most important bit of all. I've been involved in a long conversation with somebody who was brought up as a Catholic and then discovered that she has a disease, a genetic fault that's run through her family. And gradually, all her faculties are beginning to fail. And she worked for a Christian organization. And the time came when she realized that she couldn't go on working for that organization. But there was a bigger problem, and that was that she could not cope with the fact that it tested her faith to the limit. And she decided that God didn't exist after all. And she decided that she would challenge people who believed that he did exist. And she still challenges those who believe God exists. It's been fascinating conversation for me to try to understand how somebody gets to that point. But it's also fascinating to stop and consider the focus on Jesus himself, whose faith must have been tested too, in all sorts of ways, through opposition, through challenging some of the things that people thought in today's social order, and then to know that he was going to go to the cross and die for us. The Son of God, the Son who grew and began to understand God's calling, no matter what. A tough call. And that tough call, in one way or another, comes to all of us. And the question we must be left with for the future, for this coming year, is what will he become to us? When our faith is tested, will it hold good? Well, I don't know. What I do know is that his love for us, even in the midst of testing, remains exactly the same. Exactly the same. It's not all about you. It's not all about me. It's all about him and his love for us.